Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
All right, well, let's get going here. 2025, can you guys feel it? There's something new in the air. And there's a natural page turn in the calendar in 2025. And I shared last week, if you weren't here, 2024 was a lot like a church potluck. Some really good food and some really bad food. And then some other food, you're like, I don't know where this came from. And 2024 is kind of like that year. It's like a little bit of everything. And so just naturally when we turn over the year, I'm very excited. And what I want to do today is I want to make it abundantly clear that God is doing something special across our nation, across the world. What he's doing right now in the last couple of days in Atlanta, Passion Conference had taken place. Over 65,000 college students gathered in the Mercedes-Benz Dome to worship God and to be discipled by Jesus. That is something worth celebrating. When we're told a generation being lost, the opposite is actually happening. A generation is being won to Jesus. And then we have some other friend that just did a massive event down in Brazil. Over 50,000 people showed up in a stadium to worship God and pursue God. Right now, there are millions of people meeting in their homes, meeting in their house churches, meeting in small churches, medium churches, large churches, mega churches, coffee shops. People are meeting all over the world right this very moment and are studying Scripture. They're choosing to follow Jesus. They're choosing each other. Right now, someone is leading someone to Jesus somewhere in the world right now. I want to tell you, if you feel like nothing's moving in your life, don't worry about it because God is moving. So I woke up this morning with this idea. This is not a one-way conversation. This is a two-way conversation. So if you want to interact with me, Reva, I'm going to need your help today, okay? So throw things at me, shout, Stephen, we need some interaction, but I'm feeling a little bit of fire within me today because 2025 is here, and I just want to remind you, God is actually doing something right now. You may not see it, but trust me, God is doing something on the earth today. Things are happening all over, and I want to set the tone and the posture for this year. I want to set the direction. I want to get our hearts in the spot. And I believe we're going up. I believe we're going farther. And I believe we're going deeper. We don't do this thing called follow Jesus because it's a hobby. This is not some side hustle. This is not some additional thing that we just add to our schedule. This is why we are alive. And I want to bring our attention to this. And I want to bring our attention away from this is just something that added to our life and in making it, it is the reason why we exist. I believe each and every one of us have been called by God to be alive in this moment. I believe every human in this room has been called by God not to just be a great human. As much as wonderful as that is, and that's a really good goal to be in life, is to be a good human. That's a good thing to aspire to, but that's not it. You've been called by God to affect change in the world. You've been called by God to see his will be done on earth. Not your will, his will to be done on earth. You've been called by God to see people get set free from bondage, from sin, from guilt and shame. You've been called by God to see that take place in everyday life. So I want to challenge you, this year is not just about your life. It's actually about the humanity that you live with and interact with every day. This is your year to move the needle from living in hopelessness to live in hope. This is your year to move from lack to abundance. This is your year to move from death to life. This is your time. Look at your neighbor and say, this is your time. This is your year for the needle to be moved to being guided by fear, to being guided by his voice, his thoughts, and his words. I'm going to keep going until the entire room. I might get Pentecostal on you or something. I don't know how to do that. I need Stephen Gillum's influence for that part. But I'm supposed to, what, there's some noises you're supposed to make, correct? It is your time to move from overwhelm to enter into the joy of the Lord. This is your year. And that's what 2025 is about. You know, title of today's talk is All We Do Is Win. Telling you, it's a really good title. I'm going to be singing it. There's a song I'm thinking about right now that I'm not going to recommend, but I'm going to listen to it. But all we do is win. You know, growing up, Shana texted me and said, should we play that song at the end? I said, should be the background music for the whole talk. We just need to remix it. All we do is win. You know, in my younger years, I don't like losing. I like to win. Is anybody with me on this one? I like winning, but I really don't like losing. And for some reason, I was born into this world with a high level of confidence and self-assurance. I don't know why. It's not something that would just, I came out that way. My parents tell me as a young boy, people would always go up to my parents and say, where did your son get so much confidence and self-assurance? And I don't know, it was God's gift to me. I don't know why he chose it, but I just have so much belief that I'm going to win. And it drives my team crazy whenever we play games and we compete. It doesn't matter if we're playing chess or if we're trying to guess some number or some statistic or if we're digging a ditch. I don't care. I just want to win. And I believe I genuinely can win. I had this imaginary T-shirt growing up that said, don't mistake my confidence for arrogance. It's just how I'm wired. And I this weekend, I was doing yard work around the house, and I built this entire business empire in my mind while I'm doing yard work. And I thought to myself, oh, I could totally do this. Like, this is real. All I have to do is say yes. Like, there's just so much confidence and so much passion to win and just be successful. However, there's one area in my life, it doesn't work. I can have all the confidence in the world. I can have all the self-assurance in the world. I can have all the belief in the world. But there's one area in my life where it simply does not work. And it's in my relationship with God. I can put so much effort into it. I can do all the right things. I can follow the rules. I can do everything the scriptures tell me. And guess what? I can still fail. I can still fall short. That when I recognize that my own efforts, my own ability to try to reconcile and try to take care of the mess, the idea of like I can fix things and then God will be pleased with me. You see, this is the one area I recognize it doesn't work there. This is the one area I have to recognize it's not dependent on me, it's dependent on Him. I'm very aware that my own abilities, skills, and attempts have to be empowered by the Spirit of God. It can't be by my own effort and attempts. And that's one of the challenges we have is we are told if you do X, Y, Z, it'll equal something with God. And in fact, it's the other way. It's because He did X, Y, Z, it equals something with us. It's one of the biggest traps that we can fall into. I've learned that in our walk with God, the way up is full surrender. The way in is sacrifice. In our walk with God, the road that we travel on is one of humility. Please don't understand, this is not some type of belief system that is self-deprecating oneself to some cosmic being in the universe. I don't believe that's what it is. It's just a walk of humility, and it's a surrendering to the One who has won, and because of this, all we do is win. I want you to realize that we're heading towards a wedding. We're not heading toward the divorce. If it feels like a divorce to you, just remind yourself, that's not the end. We're heading towards a wedding. We're not heading toward the divorce because all we do is win. That's the reality. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to losing your life to gain Him. The challenge is, for some of us, we've actually added Jesus to your life and it's not working. The challenge is you have to learn to let go of your life to join His life. This is why Jesus went to Matthew in his office in the book of Matthew and said, follow me. And you notice He didn't stay in the tax office? He got up and left. I'm so glad, because if Jesus would have stayed in the tax office, follow me would have been a whole different thing. But because Jesus left the office, Matthew had to make a decision. I have to leave my life to go follow this man. And the challenge is we're trying to add Jesus to our life. We're trying to add him here and here. We're trying to make him a 50-50 business partner. We're trying to make him a colleague, a friend in our life. And he is not designed to be that. He is a horrible friend if he's not your king. Are you guys with me today? So it's full surrender. I want to let you in on a little secret. Believing in God is not the goal. The goal isn't to just believe in God and to believe there's a God. The demon believe there's a God. So we can't just reduce our relationship of our following Jesus to, I believe in God. That's wonderful. So do the demonic. They believe there's a God. That's not the goal. So we have to ask the question, what is the goal then? What are we doing? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? What is this relationship? It's full surrender. Yeah. It's dying to oneself. It's understanding that he is king. I am not king. It is learning to understand that he has plans and he has a will and he has a thought for your life. And he chose you to be alive in this moment. And he wants you to carry out what is in his heart. And in that, you find out all the answers to all the existential questions you will ever have. Amen. It's when you're in full surrender. I believe God is raising up a company of people right now that care more about his attention than the attention of this earth. I believe right now God is raising up, he's stirring your heart right now to care more about getting his attention than just all the attention that this world has to offer. Amen. If you have your Bible, why don't you get it open, Romans chapter 15. We're going to read one scripture today. This scripture was sent to me on New Year's Day, and I love my friends out there here and all over the world, and they say, hey, I've been praying for you, here's a scripture, and it's so encouraging that someone would take a moment out of their life to pray for you and then to send a scripture or a thought. It's just, that never gets old for me. I'm so grateful, and I try to do that in other people's life to be that, and this came to me on New Year's Day, and to be honest with you, I get this all the time, but this verse just hit me a little bit heavier, and I kind of had to determine, I think this is the verse for me for this year, at least for this moment. And it's in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a few words I want you to make a note of. Joy, peace, and hope. Say it with me. Joy, peace, and hope. Isn't it interesting that in life, those are the three things that are so hard to sustain and hold on to? Isn't it interesting that we could do good for a few days, maybe a week, and then it's like, oh, I got to fight for my peace, my joy, my hope again. I don't know if you have that life experience, but that seems to be a common life experience. Like, we have hope and hope. We have this, I know that peace and joy is available. And it's so interesting that when people ask how you're doing, we tend to tell them, well, you know, it's been a challenge. But yet, if you really stop and think about it, there's a lot going on that's incredibly beautiful. Why is it so hard for us as human to actually focus on what God is actually doing, and we find ourselves only talking about what he's not doing? You see, this is the human wrestle in a world and an environment and a system that is telling you something else. And Paul here penned it perfectly. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I would like to propose to you there are two different versions of hope. Let me reframe this. There are two different originations of hope, two different originations of peace and joy. You see, what happened, we have to understand there are forces at work that we can see, and there are forces at work that we cannot see. We can look around our society, and there are forces at play. We can see it plain as day. But we also have to understand there are forces in the unseen dimension. There are things that we do not see that are at play. And these forces are actually warring for you. They're warring for your attention. They're warring to get you 1 degree off now, so 2 years later, you're 90 degrees off. We are living in an environment. Now, you have to ask the question, when did this start? This started when sin entered into humanity. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, if you're unfamiliar with the story, it's in Genesis. And Adam and Eve are in the garden, and God creates this beautiful space that you can do anything and everything and partake of anything you see except one tree. He said, you're not allowed to eat of this tree. And the story moves on, and Eve had a conversation with the serpent, and the serpent asked her a question. And the moment she agreed with the question, guess what? Another system came into humanity. Another idea, another paradigm entered into human consciousness. It took the attention off of God and put it on self. And then when Adam and Eve ate the fruit together, it now created two options. It created the attention on God or the attention on self. And now we have a world that is the product of that decision. Well, we have a different world and a different paradigm. We have different mindsets. And we have a different realities. And when we say things like of the world, or I don't want to be in the world, or what we're referring to a system. We're referring to a paradigm. We're referring to a mindset. And the mindset and the paradigm is driven by this idea. It's about you. It's about what can I do to survive and what can I do to thrive. And I'll do whatever it takes to do that because now it's up to me. This is not the original design, but because of sin, it added another option into human consciousness. So you and I are at war every day with this reality of which world are we choosing to be a part of? Which kingdom are we choosing to participate in and to actually be shaped and molded by? Every day of our life, this doesn't get fixed when you say yes to Jesus, however long ago it was. This is every day consciously being aware of like what world am I participating with and what world am I resonating with and what world am I saying yes to or no to? This is the reality that we live in. And so we have phrases like, well, I don't want to be a part of this world. You see, Jesus actually demonstrates you not to be of this world. He's not saying separate yourself from this world. He's saying just don't act and think and live like they do. You actually have another option. And I want to introduce you to something. A friend of mine named Phil Manganiello, he's a pastor down in Atlanta, a good friend. He wrote this recently. The beliefs of this age shift us into self-centered existence, inherently distrusting God and replacing the authority of Scripture with the authority of our feelings. Let me read it again. The beliefs of this age shift us into a self-centered existence, inherently distrusting God and replacing the authority of Scripture with the authority of feelings. When I look at humanity, I'm not surprised at the rapid shift to self-centeredness. In fact, it shouldn't be surprising. When you say no to God, that is the only option left. There is no other option. You're going to go down the road. But what's surprising is that we have people that have said yes to Jesus, and they're still going down that road. And if we don't address this, the outcome is not what we think it is. And today, I want to address this. I want to bring this to light, because I believe 2025 is actually a year to address this. Yeah, I am a champion of emotional mental health. If you don't know my story, in 2018, I had an emotional, psychological, mental breakdown. I was out. I had lost every ability to control any thought that entered my head. It became a loop that never stopped. The only thing that stopped is if I could go to sleep. So I spent my entire days for a year just trying not to have a thought, because if anything gave me a thought, I couldn't control it. And I would not be standing here today without family, friends, and a therapist. So I'm a huge champion of emotional mental health. I will champion it till the day I die, because I got a face-to-face reality with an inability to process the way I was designed to process. So I'm not here today to diminish it, but I am here to say we need to reorder some things. And this is why I want to bring up to you. For Christians, our emotional and mental health is meant to be brought into an appropriate relationship with God and what He says. The appropriate relationship of our emotional and mental health is meant to be in submission to God. And the challenge is we've made it 50-50. We've worked out deals with God. We said, well, this is not how I feel. This is what I would like to do. And all of a sudden, we've now made ourselves king, and we've replaced Him with that. And today, I want to say we actually need to reorder some things in our lives. If we don't bring our emotions into this appropriate relationship, then we are left to one option. We are now responsible to get our own peace, our own hope, and our own joy. We are now putting ourselves in a posture where it is our responsibility to find peace, to find joy, and to find hope. And when you step into that paradigm, that reality, guess what? You now have no way to control that unless you isolate and insulate yourself from everything. And so we remove ourselves from every situation and we create controlled environment domes in our life that nothing challenging is allowed near me. So the goal now, how do I find a place in this world where nothing hard meets me? And then we think, oh, it is there I will have peace, joy, and hope. You see, that ideology has a loophole in it. And it's amazing how life doesn't care about your ideology. Life will always find its way through the loophole to disrupt you. And when you get disrupted in an environment that you're controlling, guess what? You get more controlling. Oh man, I didn't know that door was left open. Now I got to control that part of my life. And we keep isolating and insulating ourselves from humanity. We insulate ourselves from the opportunity to mature. We insulate ourselves from serving humanity. And we become about self and what I need to do to protect myself, my family, my friends, and my kids. And we spend our life setting ourselves up. In fact, some of us are dreaming about a day. I can't wait to just go off the grid. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I just can't wait till I get there. Then no one can touch me. Guess what? You'll never mature the way God meant for you to mature. There are two kinds of hope. There's one that's man-made and there's one that comes from God. And you can tell the difference. It's when you're in a storm and hope doesn't work anymore. Guess what? That's human-made. If you're in a storm right now and you have no hope, no peace, no joy, guess what? You're not receiving it from God. You're trying to conjure it up on your own. Amen. So there's human-made hope, there's human-made joy, and there's human-made peace. And we think when we remove ourselves from society that we enter into the joy. No, you entered into your joy. You entered into a very self-centered realm of peace and hope. And what Jesus offers is something completely different, has nothing to do with the external, has everything to do with the internal. When you are actually receiving hope that Paul promises from the Holy Spirit and peace and joy from the Holy Spirit, this is what enables you to sleep in storms. Amen. This is why there can be so much chaos and confusion. Guess what? You're living in hope, peace, and joy. You're not living in the hope of a hope. You're not living in the hope of peace. You're not living in the hope of joy. You're actually living in it in the middle of a storm. This is why you can step in a situation and when there's no food, you can multiply it. This is why you can walk on water because you're accessing a hope and peace and joy that does not come from you. It comes from Him. And I wonder how many of our own definitions of peace, hope, and joy are because we created it. We made it because of self-controlled environment. The challenge with this ideology is affecting all of us, and it's a thing that we need to war against. Amen. The challenge is parents now are raising children in self-controlled environments, thinking, oh, I'm going to provide an environment where my kid never experiencing anything challenging. And we think if I just protect them long enough, they'll never have to worry about it. The problem is they will come to a day and realize they're ill-equipped to stand in the middle of a storm and to know what to do in a storm. They're ill-equipped to deal with friendship and relationship that get betrayed. They're ill-equipped because I thought I had peace, joy, and hope. No, you just lived in a controlled environment. And that's the challenge with parents today. We're a little bit scared and nervous. Well, let me just control everything about my kid's life. And so we work so hard to control. Guess what? They're going to come a day. They're going to have to figure it out. But why not flip the script and realize, oh, there's actually a joy, peace, and hope that's available from the Holy Spirit. Let me teach them how to access that when they're getting betrayed by their friends, when they're experiencing hardship, when they're experiencing the brutality of being a human on this earth. Because there is a joy, a peace, and a hope that enables you to stand in the middle of a storm, to look at a betrayal and say, that hurts. That devastates me, but I know that's not my future. because my hope is rooted somewhere else. It came from somewhere else. Yes, I'm excited about 2025. I'm a little fired up. A bonfire blew up in my soul last night, and I am trying to just let some of it leak on you. So today, I want to move you from human-made peace, joy, and hope to God-made hope, peace, and joy. I want to move you into that, and that's what I want us to move into. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. Have you experienced peace, joy, and hope when you're not in control? Think about situations where you lost control. You realize, wow, I have no control of what's going on. Have you ever experienced peace, joy, and hope there? Not sometime, not like later, like right now. If you haven't, then I want to challenge you. Maybe the peace, joy, and hope is something that you created, and there's another dimension of it waiting for you from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you only get peace, joy, and hope when you're in control? If the answer is yes, then guess what? You've created it. You created this environment where, oh, okay, I'm now in control. Now I have peace. Now I have hope. Now I have joy because I now get to control the outcome and how this thing plays out. Let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced peace, joy, and hope when your expectations don't get met? Have you ever experienced peace, joy, and hope when your friend lets you down? When your boss lets you down? In fact, when your pastor lets you down? When your spouse does something that devastates you, do you lose peace and hope and joy in that moment? Guess what? There is a peace, joy, and hope that's available from the Holy Spirit. So instead of moving into more control, instead of moving into, I got to create this peace, hope, and joy, this is where we become humble and we surrender to Him. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is what releases hope, peace, and joy that can be sustained because He's the one responsible to sustain it. Good word. It is a good word. Thank you. Human-made peace, joy, and hope is you control environments, you avoid hard and challenging things, and you isolate and insulate. God-made peace and joy is made by God. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. It enables you to sleep in storms. You can multiply food when there's lack. You're in the middle of the action. You're in the thick of it. And guess what? You're living in a different dimension. You're not insulated and you're not isolated. What I want you to give as we kind of wrap up this talk, to recognize that you were designed for hope, peace, and joy. Did you know there's no health benefit to stress, anxiety, and fear? There's not one benefit to it. There's not one health benefit, one mental, emotional benefit at all to fear, stress, and anxiety. There is overwhelming evidence and benefits for hope, peace, and joy. So I'm here to say to you, all we do is win. Look at your neighbor and say, all we do is win. That's it. All we do is win. So let's not mistake and remove ourselves from this world so we can experience joy, peace, and hope. Let's move into this reality that right in the middle and the thick of life, you can experience peace, hope, and joy. This is a powerful promise to all of us. Aren't you glad God is not determined by your feelings? Aren't you glad that God doesn't limit Himself to how you are doing? Aren't you glad that God is not bending to our emotions, but He's giving us opportunities to master our emotion with the power of the Holy Spirit? If you need a goal this year, make it this. Make it this, that you're going to thrive. You're not just going to survive, but you're going to thrive. You're going to thrive in the worst moments of your life because you're anchored in a hope, peace, and joy that He provides. Last thought that opens a can of worms, but I'm going to do it anyways. At its deepest, doubt not only affects your ability to believe, it ultimately affects your ability to love. Yes. And the world is working. The system and the mindset of this age are working you to move into a place of distrust and doubting, and it's affecting our ability to truly love. Amen. To love ourselves, love him and love each other. So doubt isn't just the opposite of belief. It affects your ability to actually do what you were designed to do, to love really well. Why don't you stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.